there was a spring that ran right next by, right by it, called the Gihon Spring. And what they had done is they had channeled the waters of the Gihon Spring under the walls of the fortress into an underground tunnel system that channeled the water into a pool, an underground cistern. And then there was a water shaft above that cistern. They would, on a rope, let a bucket down the shaft into the pool, get a bucket of water, pull it up to the top of the fortress, and voila, fresh drinking water. And so the inhabitants of Zion were set up to resist any kind of attempt of a takeover. Joshua couldn't knock them out. Men of Judah couldn't knock them out. Men of Benjamin couldn't knock them out. Saul didn't even try. And now comes David. First order of business, we're taking down Zion. And you know, the guys in Zion, they're kind of smug. They're like, right. Even our blind and lame could repel you. I mean, they're thinking there is no way nobody has ever been able to take us down. And tonight, I would like to present the stronghold of Zion in a specific way. Now, as I present it tonight, I want you to connect the dots for your own challenge. What is it that God has called you to set your face against? What is your enemy? What is your stronghold? What is your mountain? What is your challenge? And just do the math, connect the dots, and personalize it. And I'm going to do the same thing. I want to present to you tonight the stronghold of Zion as representing the stronghold of infirmity and affliction and disease in the body of Christ today. It's the stronghold of the blind and the lame. And it stands almost like a final frontier in the body of Christ. It's almost as though the enemy would say it like this to the church. You can have most anything else you want. You can have your children's ministry. You can have your youth ministry. You can have a worship ministry. You can minister to marriages. You can minister to families. You can have we'll let you do a Bible school. We'll even let you do online. We'll even let you webcast. You can do financial seminars. Name all these areas. You can have a crisis pregnancy center. We'll let you carry a cross around the community. We'll let you, you know, give out food. It's like we're able to do all these things, and yet there is one thing that this taunting voice comes and says, you're not taking this one. When it comes to infirmity, affliction, and disease, it's like this taunting voice from the stronghold that comes to the church and says, you're not coming in here. Joshua couldn't do it. The men of Judah couldn't do it. Men of Benjamin couldn't do it. And David, you can't either. And I hear this thing it comes to me, and it comes to me kind of like this. Not in America. Forget it. Maybe if you lived in some, you know, poverty-stricken nation like Mozambique or something, where, you know, there's no hospitals, there's no doctors, and everybody's poverty-stricken, you might maybe have a chance because everybody's so desperate. But not in America. You're too rich, you're too soft, you're too unbelieving, you're too compromising, you got too many options, you got too many doctors, too many hospitals, too many prescriptions. And it's like this taunting voice, you're never going to do this in America. But if I could just for a moment preach verse 7 of our text, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. And I just want to declare tonight, our David, the son of David, Jesus Christ, is going to take this stronghold. There is no stronghold that can resist the master himself. He's taken it before. He's going to take it again. And I'd like to think, especially in America, especially where the enemy thought you can't take it here, our champion, the son of David, will take the stronghold of affliction and infirmity and disease. And I set my face against that thing in the Holy Spirit, and I say to that stronghold, you are coming down. Our champion is going to take you down. Jesus is going to visit his church, and again, the blind eyes will open. The lame will come out of their wheelchairs. The infirm will be healed. The deaf ears will open. The blind eyes will open. The mute will sing again. Now come with me to, oh, by the way, in our passage here, the guy who does this, who takes on the water shaft, his name is Joab. He's not mentioned in our text. To get his name, you have to go to the sister passage in 1 Chronicles 11. But I've chosen the 2 Samuel portion to use tonight. But Joab is the guy that does it. All right, so he's going to become captain of the army. Now David said on that day, verse 8, whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, look at this phrase, the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul. Interesting phrase. Here's my takeaway on it. I hate infirmity. I hate what it does to people. Until this happened to me, I never really, you know, until you taste of something, you just don't have a grid for it. And until this happened to me, Tammy, I just never really, I never really understood what affliction does to people. But when this thing hit me personally, man, the struggles with depression, the struggles with aimlessness, with purpose, with hopelessness, and so now I'm like, I understand what physical infirmity does to people, and I hate it. I hate the way they sit in their hovels, in their cells, with chains on their bodies, and they stare at their screens and wait to see, will the day pass? And why even get up tomorrow? But with some medication, maybe I can dull the pain enough and I can cope with one more day. And I hate the way the spirits of affliction and infirmity attack the human race to bind up people with a God-given inheritance, a God-given destiny, where God wants to make you fruitful and productive and in the kingdom of God. But the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And I hate the design of darkness to bind God's people from the fullness of their destiny in the kingdom of God. So spirits of infirmity and affliction are my enemy. reading verse 8 further, it says, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. That's another curious phrase, isn't it? My observation is that the blind and the lame, for the most part, don't come to the house. Now, I get around to quite a few churches. I'm ministering basically every weekend somewhere in America or around the world, and I've just watched this. For the population of the world, there are relatively few that come to our churches. I mean, when I start counting, okay, how many wheelchairs do we have here in this house? How many came in with a cane indicating they were blind? How many came in with an oxygen tank or on a stretcher? Or how many came with some kind of paraphernalia or prosthesis? And you start to just ask yourself, how many in this category of the population are coming to our churches? And you arrive at this conclusion, they're not coming to the house. And I don't mean that personally, like I am, around the world. They don't come to our houses of worship. And I never really understood it personally until this happened to me. And what happened to me was when this happened to me, I was the senior pastor, and I know pastors are supposed to want to go to church, but coming to church became the hardest part of my week. And it was simply because of the physical inability to function because of the chain on my voice, and I could not function. Now, we had an interesting conversation today with your pastors, Eric and Tammy. We were kind of talking about, how social, Eric is, and he's got. I mean, Eric, just imagine trying to pastor a church when you can't talk to your flock. I mean, it was so painful for me. I would come to the house, and everything inside of me is wanting to just, love on the flock, and how are you doing, and your kid got that award this week in school, I'm just wanting to interact and relate, and I cannot. And coming to the house became so frustrating to me that sometimes it would take me hours. I'd come home and it'd just take me hours to kind of regain some of my emotional equilibrium because I would just be so out of sorts and so distressed. And it's like it hits me. Now I know why they don't come to the house. It's too hard. Why would I drag myself out of bed, take the 3 hours it takes to get myself in some place of readiness so that they can get me into their special car and get me to the church and then wheel me in, and there's no place for my wheelchair anyways, and where are they going to put me? Well, stick me in the front where I really stick out. Why would I go through all that hassle only to come to the house knowing I'm going to leave in exactly the same condition that I came in? It's too hard. You know what? I think I'll tune into the webcast. I think I'll just watch it on TV. And so they're not coming to the house. But just because they're not here, don't think that they're not on Cape Cod. Beloved, there are captives that are all over Cape Cod. tape caught captives to infirmity and an affliction who do not come to our house. And I want to declare in the Holy Spirit, there's a day coming when a sound is going to go forth. Jesus is visiting his people, and the blind eyes are opening, the deaf ears are opening, and the lame are being healed. And the sound is going to go forth around Cape Cod. God is visiting his church. And when that sound goes forth, beloved, you're going to be shocked at who comes into this building. It's like, where were all these wheelchairs all these years? I'll tell you where they were. They've been with us all along. They just haven't been in the house. But when God visits his people, this building, I'm sorry, Pastor Eric, this building isn't going to be, this will be the size of, you know, this will be enough for your bathroom. Building's too small, parking lot's too small, bathrooms are too small. Why? Because the sound has gone forth. God is visiting his people. Lord Jesus, we are asking you to send a wave of your spirit to the Cape, Lord, that would bring that the stronghold would come down, that the lame, the blind, the infirm, Lord, cerebral palsy, Abba, we're asking for cancer, Abba, we're asking for rheumatoid arthritis, we're asking migraine headaches. Abba, we're asking that the stronghold would be breached and that the name of Jesus would be glorified and the captives would be loosed from their captivity in Jesus' name. Anoint us. Lord, you anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. May that same anointing come upon a Joab here in this house and on the Cape here. Lord, we're asking you, visit us by your Spirit. So David does two things here in verse 8. He provides the strategy for taking the stronghold, and he provides the incentive for taking the stronghold. First of all, the strategy. He says, we are going to take the stronghold via the water shaft. Divine strategy. We need strategy from heaven for the strongholds before us. That which you set your face to, you need to have a key, something that God gives you that he says, this is the way the stronghold will be taken. And then he provides an incentive. David says, whoever pulls this one off will become captain of the army. See, David had a challenge. He had to appoint a captain over his army. But when you have guys like Adino and Eliezer and Shammah in your army, who are guys like that going to salute? Who do you make captain over a guy like Adino who kills 800 men? And David comes up with he has a light bulb moment. I'm going to make the taking of the stronghold of Zion a qualifying exploit. Whoever breaches the stronghold of Zion, he'll be king and captain. Now, the reason that was such a challenging exploit is because to take this one on, it's kind of like the triathlon. It's not just swordsmanship. It's not just muscle power. You have got to have something cooking on several burners to take this one on. You've got to be able to be intuitive. You've got to be fast. You've got to be agile. You've got to be strong. You've got to be able to use a sword, but you've got to be able to think and use your brain and be creative and responding to the Holy Spirit. Whoever takes this one on, they're going to have something cooking on several fronts. The kind of person you want for a captain.